Again, Revelation chapter number 3, before we get started in that, is anybody that was here Sunday, most of y'all were, has anybody seen the evidence of a thief this week? I have. I guess I've been having my eyes open a little more, and I'm talking about Satan. I'm not talking about around your house because you're all here. Nobody shot anybody, so I'm assuming you hadn't seen the evidence of a thief around your house. But I have, even since Sunday, even since we preached the message on watch out for the thief, man, I have seen evidence of the thief around. And I hope then pray that we just continue to keep our eyes open and watch out for that old rascal. Just watch out and not let him take things that God has given to us and God has promised us. But Revelation chapter number 3, we'll begin reading verse number 14. And again, we're talking about the church of Laodicea. And this letter was written to this church. And of course, it is very applicable to our lives. And as we look at what God is saying, and what is in this letter, he is trying to encourage this church to be on fire for him, to be hot, not to be cold, and not to be lukewarm. Verse number 14, we'll begin reading. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. As we've been teaching about this scripture, and we've been looking at the things that can be tendencies of being lukewarm. You know, and I believe that every one of us, if we would be truthful with ourselves and be truthful with our relationship with God, that there have been times in our Christian life when lukewarm tendencies came into our life, when times that we were not really away from God, and we were not doing the things that we think of when you say that you're cold on God or that you're away from God, but we're not hot for God either. We're not really doing anything to influence anybody else to come to know Christ. We're not doing anything to help Christians and to strengthen each other. And we're not really doing anything that's even making our relationship with Christ closer. And as we looked at some of these tendencies, as we were looking into the scripture, now I'm not going to go back through all the tendencies. We spent a Wednesday night on each of them. But as we look at these tendencies, and I believe that they can exist in our lives. And then last week, we looked at what it looks like to be on fire for God, what our lives should look like, and some examples that God give us in his word for us to be on fire for him, and what it looks like through the examples in his word of people who were on fire for him. And so tonight I want to maybe tie this all up in, how do I get on fire for God? How do I get to where my relationship with God is what God wants it to be? And I believe that really and truly each and every one of us here tonight, we want our relationship to be on fire for God. We want to be hot for God. We want to have influence on others coming to know Jesus Christ. We want to have influence on other Christians being stronger, being more faithful, being more influential in others' lives. And I believe that we really do want that, or you wouldn't have used your time to come to church on Wednesday night. I know without a doubt that there are people that are working tonight. There are people that couldn't be here. But I really believe that the backbone of your church, the strength of your church, is your Wednesday night crowd. And again, I'm not throwing off on anybody that's not here tonight, but I believe with all my heart that people who, and I don't care if you have to come in your work clothes or if you, Lance, he comes in his work clothes and it's a tie. I don't think that's quite fair. But if you come in your work clothes, if you come in short breeches, I don't care what you come in. If you have a desire to come to get a little extra, you know what? Sunday is good, and I love the fellowship, and I love the preaching, and I love the spirit that I feel when I'm here on Sunday mornings. And I mean, there's nothing that can replace that. But by Wednesday, I'm needing a pick-me-up. I'm needing something else to help me through the rest of the week. Maybe I've already had a tough week, and Wednesday is my pick-me-up, my source of refuge. And I believe that you want to be on fire for God, or you wouldn't have taken time out of your night tonight to be here. You would be at home took a little extra time to eat your supper, took a little time to sit down in front of the TV and relax. So I believe that you're showing that you want to be on fire for God. You want to be what God wants you to be. But how do I get there? How do I really get where God wants me to be? I want us to look at verse number 20. Now, this verse of Scripture is used a whole lot of times in explaining Christ's calling to lost people and Christ knocking on the door and trying to get lost people to answer to his call. But I believe that we as Christian people, sometimes we get into a place. Look, y'all know, I don't think I have to explain myself here, that I know that salvation is a one-time thing, and I don't believe you get saved and lost and saved and lost. But I believe that sometimes in my Christian relationship, in my walk daily, I believe that there are times when lukewarm tendencies are so much part of my life that I'm not hearing the voice of God, that I'm not responding to the voice of God. And I want you to see what it says here in verse number 20. Well, as you back up to verse number 19, I want you to see what he says. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. So he's already got to the place where he's saying, I love you so much that I will chasten you. I love you so much that I'll rebuke you. So that tells me that I'm not where I'm supposed to be if I'm going through that. And he says, then be zealous, therefore, and repent. Just repent is all I want you to do. In verse number 20, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And that word behold is take notice. Pay attention. I want you to really be aware of what's going on. I'm glad that in my Christian life, in times when I've had lukewarm tendencies, and that's a nice way of saying when I was lukewarm on God, when I was not on fire for God, when I was not trying to get the most out of my relationship with Christ, I'm glad that he says, I want you to pay attention for just a minute. I want you to look. Yeah, I may rebuke you. I may chasten you. I may get to a place to where I have to wake you up a little bit. But I want you to know that I'm still standing at the door and knocking. I haven't went anywhere. I haven't give up on you. I hadn't moved away. I want you to behold, pay attention that I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. I want the relationship that you was created for. I want that between, and I'm talking about God wanting that relationship with us. You know, that's the whole purpose that he created us for, is to have a relationship with him. We get it all twisted up and thinking that we were created to do some job here on this earth, that we were created to do this and that. But God created us to give him glory and to have a relationship with him. And he says, you're lukewarm. You're not where you're supposed to be, and I've rebuked you, and I've chastened you. But then he says, but be zealous, be excited, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I'm still here knocking. I'm still here. I haven't went away. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, you want to be on fire for God? I tell you what you do. You spend some time alone with God. You find you a time that you spend alone with God. You know what? I believe a lot of times that the alone time that we get with God is very fractional compared to what we need to spend alone with God. I believe that the alone time that we spend with God, sometimes our alone time is in the midst of everybody else. And you say, well, what are you talking about? We come into the house of God, and we feel God's Spirit move like it did here Sunday morning, and we consider that our alone time with God. God spoke to my heart. God moved around my life. God touched. His Spirit was definitely here Sunday morning. I mean, when the hairs go to standing on the back of your neck and them cold chills run down your leg, you know that God's here, and yet God's, and we say, well, we had some time with God today. But I want to tell you, I believe it's very important if we want to have the relationship, if we want to be on fire for God like he wants us to be, if we don't want to be lukewarm, I believe it is very important that we spend some alone, some very intimate time with Jesus Christ, with God. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door. He says, I'm here. You're not cold. You're not lukewarm because of me. I'm doing everything I can to have the relationship with you that I've created you for. I'm doing everything I can to have that relationship. But what do we do sometimes when we have that alone time? We try to remove ourselves. Now listen, you know that I'm not one of those, I don't preach about music, and I don't preach about television, I don't preach about all that stuff. You've got one living on the inside of you that'll preach that to you, and that'll guide you and lead you, and if you don't follow him, then you'll find yourself in that rebuke chastening mode. I don't have to preach that. I believe 100%. But you know what? Sometimes when I have time to be alone with God, I'm in tune to things of this world instead of being in tune to things of God. Sometimes when I have that alone time with God, I'm sitting down in front of my television and I'm trying to remove my mind from reality for just a minute. I tell you what, you want to get removed from reality, you get in God's presence, you can get out of reality for a minute. Now, he'll put you in a different place instead of in this old world. But sometimes when I have an opportunity to have that alone time with God, I'm not concentrating on God. I'm not thinking about God. I'm not seeking God. But he says, behold, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I want you to look what he says. I will come in to him. He'll come in. He wants that relationship. And will sup with him and he with me. Now look, especially in Bible times, this sup with him, that was an illustration of an intimate relationship. And it was not like an intimacy as a physical relationship, but just, man, we're going to get deep. We're going to be together right here. You know, in biblical times, as they sat down to eat, and it was a lot different than what it is now. You know, we stop at McDonald's and grab a burger, and there's nothing intimate about it whatsoever. But this was a time he was saying, I want to come in. I want to sup with you. I want to spend time with you. I want to be with you. You ever had somebody invite you to supper that you didn't like? I don't like to go eat with people I don't like. I want to enjoy my food if nothing else. And here, Christ is saying, look, yeah, I know. I get a little wild sometimes. But he says, I want to come in and I want to sup with you. I want to spend some time with you. How long has it been since you really sat down and spent some time with God? Either in God's word, or in prayer. I can remember, there's been very few times in my life like this, but I can remember one day that I was out delivering plumbing parts. It's been several years ago. And there was something going on in my life that I really needed God to move in. And I was praying, and I was asking God, and I was pleading with God, and God, I need you to do this, and God, I need you, I need you, I need you. And every time I prayed, I was saying, God, I need, and God, I want, and God, I need you to move. And I can remember a day, and I was riding around, and I was listening to, at that time, I believe I was listening to Joy FM, and I had it cranked way up, and I was having a good time going down the road, and I was praying in my heart, God, I need, God, I need, God, I want. And it hit me like a ton of bricks, and I reached up, and I turned the radio off, and I said, okay, God, you tell me what you want. Tell me what you need. You speak to me. Now, listen, God didn't speak to me in an audible voice. I didn't hear it. It might as well have been. It was that loud and that clear. But I learned, you know, sometimes I just need to shut up and listen. Because it says right here, behold, I stand at the door and knock. But then listen what it says. If any man will hear my voice. I think sometimes we picture Jesus just knocking. But he says, if any man will hear my voice. Hey, open up. Open up. I'm out here. Come on. You're cold. You're lukewarm. You've moved away. Hear my voice. Man, I want a relationship. Man, I want to be everything that I created you for. How do you get on fire for God? Well, it's first you accept the love and the rebuke and the chastening. You be zealous. You repent. And then you listen for God to speak to your heart. Listen for God to speak to your life and surrender your life to him. Let him in. You know what? If I don't want you in my house, I'm not going to let you in my house. I'm not going to open that door. And I know probably everybody here has seen that painting of Jesus knocking on a wooden door. And if you ever noticed, that wooden door doesn't have a door handle or a knob on the outside. That's because it can only be opened from the inside. And that's not scriptural and that's not biblical. I'm just saying that was a good illustration that goes along with this verse of scripture. If you want that intimate relationship with God, you got to let him in. You got to let him have control. You got to say, here, God, I surrender. I don't like to surrender. Because you know what? I like to be in charge. I like to be the one calling the shots. I like to have my way all the time. Autumn's about to shout back there. I can see it on her face. I want it. You know, when Burger King said, have it your way, man, that appealed to me. That's the way I want it. I want it my way all the time. I want God to move my way. I want God to do it like I want him to do it. I want God to do it when I want him to do it. But you know what? God's ways are not my ways. My ways are not his. My thoughts are not his. But in order for me to have the place, if I get on fire for God, then I'll accept his time and I'll accept his will and I'll accept what he's doing in my life. If I will hear him knocking, hear his voice, allow him to come in and sup with me, to have that relationship with me. Look what he says in verse number 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Now look, the only way to overcome, and I don't know any other way to take this scripture right here, but he says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. The only way to overcome is through and by Jesus Christ. Man, there's nothing you can do. You can read the Bible 40 times, and that's not overcome. And you can give more money than anybody in this place to the church, and that's not overcoming. Overcoming is surrendering yourself unto Christ and saying, I want you to be Lord and Savior of my life. And he says, to him that overcome will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. You know, it's so amazing to me, because look how he compares this. He says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame. It's so amazing to me how he can offer me such redemption and he can offer to me such sacrifice that he compares my relationship with his relationship to the Father. And the Bible tells me that when I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, that then I'm an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know any way else to look at this. It says, but if you overcome, you're going to be in the same place that I am. I don't know how in the world that God can look at me with my faults, my failures, my weaknesses, and say, you know what, I love you so much. If you'll surrender yourself unto me. And you know the crazy thing about that is it shouldn't be hard for us to surrender ourselves to somebody that wants nothing but good for us. It shouldn't be that hard, but yet we kind of rebuke that him being in charge of our lives. But he says, if you'll surrender yourself to me, he says, even as I overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. I'm telling you, tonight if we will surrender ourselves unto God, not only will we have victory over death, hell, and the grave when we die, not only will we have a place that's been prepared for us, not only will we have eternal life, but I really believe that our life here will show, by us being hot for Christ, I believe that it will show that we have victory no matter what happens in this life. No matter what takes place. Man, there are things that happen that are terrible. There are things that happen that, I mean, I don't know how people make it through. And I know that we're looking through carnal eyes. We don't have spiritual, we don't discernment a lot of times over some of this stuff. But I really believe that whatever comes our way, that by the grace of God, that we can find victory in whatever comes our way. He says that you will sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father's throne. Look, verse number 22, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now there's a lot of people that says, well, this letter doesn't apply to us because it was written to the church of the Laodiceans, but from what I read in the Bible, all of this scripture was given for me. All of it pertains to me. And I know that I have lukewarm tendencies in my life. As we've been doing this study, I know that there are things in my life that keep me from being on fire for God the way that I should be. You know, we're getting to a place in a day, you know, if somebody knows, I don't know why I say a little old lady, because it just seems like there's a little more little old ladies around that just love the Lord. They may not have anything financially. They may not have any possessions. They may not have, but they have completely surrendered themselves unto God, and they're on fire for God. You get around them, and you can just feel God's Spirit on them. You can feel God's love on them, his compassion on them. Some of y'all have been around women like that before, and some men too. But I can think of some women in my life that I've been around that were like that. You know what? That's kind of what I want my life to put out. I don't care so much if my life puts out that I've been successful, you've been successful, that it puts out that I know more about this than this person or that person. And if we're not careful, we can get concentrated on those things. But I want my life to put out that I have surrendered myself unto God, that I'm on fire for God. And if my life puts that out, again, I know even Alan, he made fun of me about saying I don't have to carry around my big old 50 by 50 King James Bible in the Walmart. I want my life to put it out just by my everyday living. Everything that I do should breathe Christ. Everything that I do should point to Christ. I'm not saying that everything I do does. I'm not saying that my life is perfect. What I'm saying is, if I completely surrender myself unto Christ, and I completely just say, God, I want to be on fire for you. I hear you knocking. I hear you speaking. I want you to come in, and I want us to have the relationship that you created me for. I can get a little closer to being where God wants me. Do I ever lose my temper? Absolutely. Do I ever get upset? Absolutely. But I believe that we can do all of those things and still remain in a place that we're on fire for God if we're surrendered unto God. I remember a time, it hadn't been too long ago, I think I may have even shared this with you before, but if I hit my head, for some reason, that makes me madder than about anything on this earth. I don't know why it does, but I was back there and I was getting PVC fittings out of a box, and I raised up and I hit my head on the shelf that was holding the next level of PVC fittings. And that particular morning, it made me mad. I mean, I grabbed the box and I slung the box of fittings across the warehouse. I kicked the ones that was laying here. Thankfully, I was the only one in the store at that point in time. Nobody else seen it. But you know, God seen it. But, you know, thankfully, I was the only one there. And, you know, sometimes even saved people lose it. Even saved people. But you know what? I think it's really important for us, if we're going to surrender ourselves unto God and we're going to be on fire for God, when you feel one of those losing moments come along, go out in the woods where it's just you and the tree spiders and lose it for a minute and then come back. I believe it's really important because in order for us to be hot for God, I believe that we have to surrender ourselves so much that every part of our being is surrendered unto God. I believe that every day, every moment, if we want to be on fire, I believe it's very important that we say, God, I want you to come into my life. I hear you knocking. I hear your voice. Now you come in and you take complete control over my life. And when we do that, we can find our place on fire for God. You know what? I'll close with this. Whether or not you're on fire for God may or may not dictate whether somebody accepts Christ or not. There's a lot more at stake than just what people think about your Christian walk. I've heard people say, well, I can do this and I can do that and it don't matter. Me and God know. And yes, that's right. You and God know. I can act this way if I want to. But what if my moment of lukewarmness or my lukewarm tendencies is what if it cost someone from coming to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? Now look, I want to be on fire for God so that I'm in the place that God wants me and that I'm having victory in my life. I want to be on fire for that. But I believe that we also have to look at the responsibility that we have as Christians. It's our responsibility to be on fire for God so that we can point others to Jesus Christ. I've got loved ones that need saving. I've got friends that I'd love to see come to know Jesus Christ. And I hope that lukewarm tendencies in my life is not what keeps them from coming to know Jesus Christ. Just get on fire. That's the only thing I know to say. That's the only way I know how to close this up. It's going to happen from time to time. Lukewarmness is like the norm. But let's not be norm. Let's get on fire for God where we can do what God calls us to do. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. In Jesus' name. And Jesus, I want to thank you for this day, God. And I want to thank you for all your many blessings, God. God, I know that lukewarm tendencies are in my life. God, I want to thank you for revealing some of these to me through this study. But God, I also want to take notice. I want to behold that you're at the door, you're knocking, and that you want the relationship with me that you've called me to have. God, I pray that you'll help me to spend that intimate time with you. God, I pray that you'll help me to have that desire to be on fire for you, God. God, I pray for our church, God, that we'll be a church that you can use where your Spirit is very present in all of our services, God, and that when people come in here, they definitely know that Jesus Christ loves them and that he's calling them to be one of their children. God, I pray for our church, God. Use us in a special way. Touch our leaders in our church, God, and help them every day. May we all be on fire for you so that you can make us the church that you would be pleased with. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen.